This is Profiles in Risk. The INS Nerds Podcast. The only recurring podcast dedicated to insurance careers, insurtech startups, and insurance current events. We are your hosts, Carly Burnham, Tony Cagnas, and Nick Lamparelli. You can find all of our podcasts, show notes, and other great insurance-related articles at insnerds.com. And now, let's roll to the show. Welcome to episode one of Profiles in Risk, the INS Nerds podcast. I am your host, Nick Lamparelli. Along with me are the co-founders and my co-hosts for this episode, Carly Burnham and Tony Cagnas. Tony, Carly, how are you?
Close. You were close.
Cagnas.
Yeah, okay. Cagnas. Well, no worries. You can call it whatever you want. You can call me whatever name you want. Just don't call me late for dinner.
How about if I just call you Tony and Carly? And so
that works.
This is episode one. So my before we all introduce each other to the audience, what I'd like to do is ask each of you, why does the world need another podcast? And specifically, why does the world need an insurance podcast? So, Carly, why are we doing this? No? Tony, why are we doing this?
It'd be fun to bring some younger voices to the world of podcasting regarding insurance. And we've listened to a couple that are out there. We wanted to specifically talk about some changes that are coming and relate it back to some of the things you might have read on our blog.
Okay. Tony?
I think it's about our voice. If you look at INS Nerds, which we'll talk a lot about during this recording, our voice is very different from everything else out there in the insurance industry. So I'm guessing our podcast is going to be very different and kind of a different, younger, fresh, fun look at the industry.
Good. I like both of those answers.
We've been committed to authenticity throughout the journey of starting insurance.com, and I expect that to continue with Profiles in Risk Taking.
Or Profiles in Risk.
Yeah, is it Profiles in Risk or Profiles in Risk Taking?
It's
okay, we don't have to answer right away.
Yeah.
Also, random comment, I think it's episode zero, because who knows it? Who knows how it will go? We'll see. So, what do you can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, if this makes it to publication, the audience should know that Carly has already voiced her authority to reject anything to go to publication if it doesn't meet her approval. So if this goes live, then it'll be episode one. And if this doesn't go live, then the audience will never hear of it. It'll be episode zero, and episode one will be something else.
I knew...
Control is important.
Something like a year and a half ago, when I made up the title chief editor for Carly, I knew that things would never be the same.
Power. That's power, Carly. You know, I met you guys about a year ago. Maybe I met Tony a little bit longer than that. And I had always had the idea of a podcast in my mind. Mostly because, one, as Carly mentioned, Tony, you may have mentioned this as well, the other podcasts that are out there, there was just something missing. I just felt like they were geared towards a different audience. And the things that I really enjoy about insurance, those podcasts never really touched. Here and there, there'd be episodes that I enjoyed, but for the most part, I always thought, like, I would like something that dealt with a lot of the stuff that I really like about insurance. And sometimes the boring nitty-gritty stuff, but other times things that I think a lot of our audience will really appreciate. Getting more in detail when it comes to, like, cat bonds and insurtech. But also, you know, finding a job in insurance and the stuff that you guys have done on insnerds.com, I think really, really resonate with me. And I think getting it to an audio format where we can discuss these on a, you know, biweekly basis, but also get to talk, you know, bring guests on board, interview people in the industry that are doing really cool things, and giving them a sounding board to reach an insurance audience. That's what really excited me. That's why I really wanted to do it. And I especially wanted to do it with you guys, because I feel like we're sort of all leaning in the same direction.
I looked at the Available Insurance Podcast maybe a year and a half ago, and there were a few very focused on the agency side, and they didn't seem to be a lot focused on the carrier side. And we don't ignore the agency side, but we've always been kind of carrier focused. So I, unless that's been solved since then, and now there's interesting carrier side type podcasts, I just haven't seen them. Nationwide has an interesting internal one that they call KISS, Keep It Simple Schumann, and actually Schumann recently left the company, but it was really good, but it's internal only.
Oh, that's too bad. How did you hear about it when you were there?
Yes, they call it the biweekly Nationwide radio show, and I was on it a couple times as a guest. And I wish I had the recording, because it was really a lot of fun, and it was kind of funny. I don't know if you'll cut this when you're editing, but just a quick funny story. So I go on the first time I go on, and they interview me for like, I don't know, 10 minutes, and then, you know, they show me the door, and I go on my way, and I go back to work, and then I go on, I listen to the whole show, and so it was live, but then I listened to the recording, and so after I left, They got an email or whatever. They got some comments while they were still on the air, and one of the comments is that it sounded like Tony was running all over the studio, which I love.
That's
you know.
Pretty fitting.
I was very excited that my high energy did come across, which is, yes, you know, something that I always try to bring into our industry.
Yeah. Well, I hope you bring it to this podcast, and I can tell you, unless Carly makes us cut it, I plan on not cutting anything, because I think that's what the audience wants to hear, is our goofy, high energy type of silliness, but also our seriousness as well.
You shouldn't have told her that. Now she's gonna
pressure.
Have to fight with herself to
agonize over the decision now.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly. So he was joking. He was joking. This will be carefully edited, Carly.
Carly, this is realism here, and this is what our audience wants to hear. So,
just protecting your reputations, guys.
Sure.
All I'm here for.
I don't think my reputation can be protected any longer. So for the audience's sake, we will endeavor to make this a bi-weekly podcast. This podcast will be highly linked to the insnerds.com website, the articles that are on the website. But we're also going to try to ratchet it up a notch. We're going to do interviews. We already have accepted the CEO of an insurtech startup. You guys know. I'll leave some of the details to the insnerds.com website. But I think the audience, especially millennials in the audience, which I know your blog is really geared towards, I think they're really going to enjoy this, because I think it's going to be very consumable, and I think we're going to touch on a lot of things that they're going to be unaware of. It's going to be new. It's going to be educational for them while fun for all of us at the same time. So. That's going to be the general idea, but what's interesting is we've already gone a few minutes in, and it most likely a lot of our audience, they don't even know who we are. So Carly, why don't you give a little introduction to yourself?
Okay, so I'm Carly Burnham. I've been in the industry since 2004, which is almost 13 years now. I started in an agent's office and was a CSR there for a while. Was promoted up to office manager over the course of 5 or 6 years. Then I worked in a call center in Des Moines, which is where I met Tony at Nationwide, and did direct sales over the phone for 26 different states, which was a completely different experience from working in an agent's office, and definitely is part of what led me to working with Tony on insnerds.com. Now I work as a commercial underwriter for a carrier here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I underwrite all lines up to $100,000 in premium. This is another different experience for me. My past has been with exclusive agents or direct writing, so working with independent agents is a whole other experience as well, and I'm really enjoying it. I got my CPCU in 2012, in a year, so that was a fun experience.
Nice.
And at the same time, I worked on my MBA while we were living in Des Moines. So I've certainly done a lot of thinking about insurance and writing about insurance, and I'm really excited to have this outlet to talk about insurance with two very interesting gentlemen.
You should write a blog article about how to pass CPCU quickly.
Should I?
Yeah.
It's done.
Oh, it is.
You should check it out. Yeah.
.com. There you go. How to pass your
CPCU. That particular article, it's the one that we have about how to do it quickly. Actually, we have two about how to do it quickly.
Yes.
One could be halfway considered Carly's, and the other one is a guest author. But yeah, we do have two about how to do it quickly.
So that's an interesting background. I'm curious. Your MBA was it insurance focused? Did you do?
It was not.
Okay. Okay.
Next up will be a PhD focused on insurance.
PhD.
Holy wow!
in 10 years or something.
I had to censor myself there after the holy. So why a PhD in insurance and why not the one of the two masters in insurance that are pretty popular out there?
Because eventually it would be fun to work at a university.
Okay, so I'm assuming by the PhD in insurance you're looking at the Florida State program?
I believe there's one in Georgia as well, isn't there?
Really? I don't know.
There is.
To my own shame, now that I live in Atlanta, I have not yet become really involved with the two nearby schools that have insurance programs. It's on my to-do list.
I think Georgia has three schools that are like in the top 20 for insurance-related programs. Georgia.
I mean, that's halfway a joke. We'll see what happens. But I do think being at a university would be fun.
Yeah.
I can see it being a great match to your personality.
Yeah. No, I like that. I miss college. I think life was so much better in college. To be a full-time student.
No kidding. No kidding.
The money to be a full-time student.
I've never been a full-time student. I don't know what that's like.
Really?
No, I worked at the agency all through college.
But did you go to school full-time and work part-time, or did you work full-time and study part-time?
I worked like 30 hours a week.
Were you a full-time student also?
Yes.
I had no idea. And how many credits were you taking per semester?
You know, 12 or 15.
So that's a full schedule.
Head load. Yeah.
Would you study in college?
Communication.
Oh, perfect for a podcast, right?
Yes.
So there's going to be
for writing.
There's going to be some serious editing.
Yep, generally. Generally the case.
Okay, Tony, why don't you give the audience a little bit of your background?
Okay, so I'm Tony Canyas. I was born and raised in Costa Rica, where I lived until I was 19, and then I came to the U.S. For college at Iowa State. So go Cyclones! And I came to school in the States to study computer science, and it didn't really pan out. I found out pretty quickly that computers are a lot of fun to play with. I still like to play with them, but programming, especially programming for somebody else, not for what I want to do, is really no fun. At least it wasn't for me. And I kind of figured that there's two types of programmers. There's good programmers and bad programmers, but I didn't meet any happy programmers. So I halfway through college, or even before that, I transferred to management information systems, which is kind of the business side of the computer science. And by the end of college, I knew that what I really wanted to do was probably something marketing related or psychology slash marketing related, but it was too late to switch. As a foreign student, I couldn't get a student loan, and my parents were only sponsoring 4 years of college, so which I thanked them for. But I had to graduate, so I graduated with a degree in management information systems, and I worked for 3 years in a transportation company as a fleet manager, and I hated it. It was stressful, and everything was always my fault. Everybody's always yelling at you. I still have some very good friends who continue to be truck drivers, and we are good friends, but the overall industry just wasn't for me. In 2009, I got downsized, which was a sweet relief, and I quickly, since I was living in Des Moines, Iowa, the big insurance hub of Des Moines, Iowa, I quickly landed in the Farm Bureau Claims Call Center, and I quickly fell in love with it. Partially because it was just so much nicer than working in transportation, and partially because Farm Bureau really deserves a shout out for they do a great job of not only hiring and growing their people, and in orientation they very much taught us the importance of insurance, the importance of the history of the company, and how to grow in the industry. So they really kind of set us in the path of, we only want you in the call center for a year or two, and after that we want you to grow into somewhere else in the company. And as part of that job, you have to get your AIC and your AINS within the first 2 years or you're out, which I think is an amazing idea. I was already working on my MBA part-time, so getting my AIC and my AINS was pretty easy. I already had kind of a study habit. I studied every day. I've never been a good student, but I'm a disciplined student. So I quickly did my AINS and my AIC, and I put those on my LinkedIn, and I got a call from Nationwide. A Nationwide recruiter said, hey, we would like you to come interview for a non-call center type of claims role. So it was a step up in the world, and I will never forget. I said, well, it was a casualty claim, so an injury claim type position, first-party injury, and I said, I don't have any injury experience. I only have auto damages experience. And she said, it's okay, you have your AIC, so we know you can do claims. We can teach you the injury part. And so I went and I interviewed and I got the job, moved over to Nation, we got a decent raise, bigger company, bigger platform, and that really cemented my love of insurance education, because it showed me very quickly how being a part-time student while you're working in insurance can really pay off. My first year at Nationwide as a claims adjuster, I hated the job, but I really enjoyed the company. And I used that year, I was working the 10:30 to 7 p.m. shift. So I would get up in the morning, come in at 6 a.m. I would be in the Starbucks across the street from work, studying for my MBA and for my CPCU. And that allowed me to do CPCU really fast. And as soon as I finished CPCU, when I hit my one-year anniversary with the company, I managed to score a job in underwriting with a Nationwide agribusiness as a farm underwriter for Maryland and Delaware, from Des Moines still. And around that time, I got really involved with the CPCU Society, both locally and nationally, and I got really involved with the Nationwide Young Professional Group, which is called the Gen Y Associate Research Group. And it only existed in the Columbus, Ohio office, the Nationwide's biggest office, so I created the Des Moines chapter of the Gen Y Associate Research Group, and it turned out that those two things, the CPCU and Gen Y, are really what eventually led to INS Nerds. So I worked as an underwriter for a year, and then I got the opportunity to relocate to headquarters to Columbus, Ohio. And Nationwide is kind of a very centralized company, or at least at the time it was, and the opportunities for growth were much better in Columbus. So I was very happy to take that opportunity and go to Columbus. I spent a year in that program, in the Financial Leadership Rotation Program. I got some amazing development opportunities. I got some amazing feedback. spent half of that time in Scottsdale, Arizona with Scottsdale Insurance, the E&S carrier. But during that time, I realized that I am not a finance guy. I'm not a finance guy. It's just not my thing.
Finals.
So, what did you think I said?
Finals. I'm not a finals guy. I'm like, so you're the type of student that does great except for the last exam. That's what I thought you meant.
Sorry about my accent. I'm still working on it after this many years of speaking English. I got braces recently, so that's not helping. So I'll try to slow down. So I realized that I am not a finance guy. So I went to my boss and I did two 6 month rotations. I could have done one or two more, and then place in finance. But I was never going to be a great finance guy. So I went to my boss and I said, hey, I love the program. Thank you for the opportunity, but I love Nationwide. I love insurance. I'm not a finance guy. I want to go back to insurance. I was too far away from making things happen. I was reporting on things that had already happened and predicting things that would happen years down the road. So I said, I want to go back either underwriting or sales management if they're ready for me, because they had before told me that it would take more underwriting experience to go to sales management. And they helped me get a role in sales management with the Allied brand, which is now part of the overall Nationwide, but the independent agent line of Nationwide. So I moved to Sacramento, California, did that for a year, in office sales manager, and then I got recruited away from Nationwide to work for a company called American Modern. They're part of Munich Re, and I became their field sales manager. Loved that job. I ran around Northern California with a company car, 55,000 miles in a year, all over Northern California, and had a blast doing it. I loved being a sales manager, and the company had a change of man. I killed it. I re-energized the territory, made a lot of money in bonus in bonus at the end of each quarter, and unfortunately the company went through a reorganization. The CEO left, and the vice president of sales, senior vice president of sales, left, who was my boss's boss, and the new management came in and decided that Northern California was no longer a focus, so they killed my position. They were very decent in my severance package. So we went through an interesting transition there, ended up deciding to move to Atlanta, and I ended up landing with another major carrier, and I am now a middle market underwriter at a major carrier in Atlanta. If you look me up on LinkedIn, you can see who that is, but they're a bit shy about my appearances in the insurance media, so I try not to use their name out loud. Even though I love my day job, it truly is a wonderful experience, and I hope I'll do it for several years. So that's kind of me in a nutshell. Yeah. There was something else I wanted to make a quick comment on, but it'll come back to me. We can keep going. It's okay. I got it. So for those of you at home keeping count, between all the jobs that I talked about, that's 7 jobs in 7 years, which in this industry, if you're an industry veteran like Nick is, you know that that's not a great sign. But if you're, you know, one of our millennials, that might not sound too weird. So it's been seven jobs in 7 years. I'm about to hit my 1 year anniversary at my current role, and I hope to be there for several more years. But in my defense, each job has been a step up from the previous ones. And of course, I'm going to call her out on it. We'll see if we get edited out. Carly just sent a text message to the group that she said about 25% less than I said, which is always the case.
No. That's not what I said.
Okay.
I said, I can only hear, I'm missing 25% of what you're saying. My audio is cutting out.
Oh, okay.
But yes, okay, I speak much less than you, which is normal.
Okay. If you do want to say more about your background, please feel free. I'm done with mine.
I'm going to exert host control here and take it back. I liked both
of you, Tony.
What is most interesting, and I think the audience that we're targeting. I think what they should probably pick up is that there are so many different opportunities in insurance, aren't there? Like
it's endless.
There's so many points between sales and finance and underwriting and actuarial and claims. There's so many different avenues that you can go in, and you can go in one door and then end up at some other place within the company. And you both have you know, really illustrated that in your stories.
And sort of on that line, Tony kind of talked about all the additional extracurriculars he did at Nationwide. That's one of the things I love about insurance as well. You will usually be able to get that work done in a timely fashion and still get involved at the company on cross-departmental experiences. So, for instance, Tony and I met when he was in claims and I was in sales. I'm working on projects now with our training team at the carrier I work for. I work on projects with marketing at the carrier I work for. So you get to really see a lot of do them in your day-to-day job.
I think it's the hardest part. Once if you're lucky and you start and you somebody points you to insnerds.com early in your career and you follow our advice, 3-4 years in, the hardest thing is figuring out, okay, there's so many opportunities coming my way even when I'm not looking. You know, recruiters are finding me on LinkedIn. Like, where the heck do I go? I think that's there's so many opportunities and it's only becoming more and more. The harder part is figuring out what's right for you.
Yeah, well, let me give you my background and my story, because it somewhat falls into the same area as you guys. I think one thing that's interesting is I know very few people that actually like study insurance and then get into insurance. And I wrote that, you know, I think one of the first articles I wrote for you guys was, you know, my story, you know, why and how I got into insurance and why I like it so much. But I, believe me, I had no interest in insurance to start. My background was in science. I thought I was going to be a physician, so I thought I'd be going to medical school. And then something very interesting happened. So I'm originally from the Boston area. I graduated with a degree in biological sciences from UMass Lowell. Go Riverhawks. And
Riverhawks?
Riverhawks, yes. Be careful.
That's a funny name. I'm sorry.
And, well, they were the Chiefs. And so you can imagine what happened there.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kansas City.
Yes, but that will change.
So liberal in Boston.
Yeah, Kansas City versus Boston.
That will change too, you watch. So anyways, I wanted to go. I was, you know, I'm an Italian mama's boy. I wanted to stay local. And I could not get into medical school in the Boston area. It was just too competitive. Even with a 3.5 GPA, I could not get in.
Wow.
I ended up doing research, fertility research, at a hospital in Boston for 2 to 3 years before I finally got my chance, and I got into a graduate school program at University of Massachusetts at Worcester at the medical school. So my plan was to go back and get an MD, PhD, and fulfill my dreams. But those 2 to 3 years of being out of school killed any energy I had to go to a graduate school, to study for 60 hours a week. I at the time I was in my mid-20s, just did not have any interest at all. And I had a friend I went to high school with who was taking over his dad's insurance agency. And I can still hear him telling me face-to-face how, Nick, everybody needs insurance, you're gonna make a ton of money. And that was exactly what I needed to hear at the time, the money part.
What year was this?
This was 1996.
Okay.
Around there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit later, maybe in like 97 or 98, but mid to late 90s. And yeah, the whole money thing was really interesting to me, but the job was terrible. And I was a glorified secretary. But here's the thing. Here's where, like, fate kind of leads you in one direction or another. While I was sitting in that agency working, I was also reading a book called Against the Gods by Peter Bernstein, which I will put on the show notes. We'll put a link to that book in Amazon.
I'm really wondering how that book ended up in your hands, because it is an excellent book, but it took me years of being in the industry before I heard about it.
I was just going through the finance and economics section in Barnes & Noble, and I saw this book. I started leafing through it, and I said, that looks interesting. That book got me into insurance.
I'm curious, because my experience in the agency was fantastic. I loved it. What do you mean you were a glorified secretary? What was your position?
I didn't have a position. So it was basically a one-person agency. And I was expected to just basically answer the phone and fill out applications when people came in. And there was the type of agency where people would come in and pay their late fees or pay their insurance premiums and have me negotiate the late fees or the cancellation notices. There was no real role. I was not licensed. I was not licensed. Yeah. Okay. I was actually studying to get my license. But it was the book, though. It was the book that intrigued me into the risk area. Like I saw just enough of the insurance area, just enough along with that book that I said, I think I want to try this again, just at a more professional organization, like a real company and not this thing.
Sure.
And that's what happened. I started at Fred C. Church Insurance, which is a smallish to mid-size insurance agency in New England. They had a bunch of offices. I think their claim to fame at the time was they owned the Dunkin' Donuts account. So that was the big thing. They had a whole department dedicated to Dunkin' Donuts. But that did it. I went in and I became a customer service rep. I sold personal auto and personal homeowner and residential homeowners. And I learned from the ground up. Like there was something about insurance that intrigued me. I liked the risk aspect to it. I wanted to know more, like where did the price for the auto come from? Where did the price for the homeowners come from? Like, that really interested me. And I just thought it was cool. At Christmas time, I could tell, stories about auto claims and homeowner stuff. So
did your family love that too?
No, my mom wanted me to be a priest.
where the price comes from, it's very simple. We charge you as much as we think we can get away with without giving you anything back ever. And then if you have a claim, we immediately cut you off forever.
Tony, you must be so good at sales.
How did you kill it at American Modern with an attitude,
right?
Like that? Tony, that's our little secret.
I know, you can edit that part later.
No, we. But I think the interesting part was that I was intrigued enough, but also ambitious. Like, I still had a part of me that was like, yeah, I still want to make more money, and yeah, but I also want to learn more. So it was the first time that I saw an insurance designation, and I took a class, and it felt like college again. It was great, I took.
How did you find out about the designations? Being at a very small company, who told you? Did somebody have this? How did that happen?
Well, when I went to Fred C. Church, the a lot of the CSRs there had CSR designations or CIC. There was almost nobody. I can't remember anyone there that had a CPCU.
But there was already a company called
agency facing designations.
Yes. Yeah. CISR designation, CIC. Those are more agency related. Tony, this was at Fred C. Church. So this was a 100 plus person agency with multiple.
And it's wonderful that they had the culture. of, because clearly if several people had them, it means that somebody in there was pushing it and was doing it by example.
Yeah, I wouldn't say anyone pushed it. It was just encouraged. And so
that's awesome.
It became part of the annual review, you know, which exams are you going to take? What do you want to focus on? And I absorbed it like a sponge. I took the maximum amount of classes that they would let me take. And I especially loved the off-site ones where you would go to, you know, for the agency related one, you go, there'd be, you know, they'd go to some hotel in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, and you'd stay there for 2 days. And I absorbed everything like a sponge. Like, I really enjoyed it. And here's the thing. Even though I did that, I wanted to get more in the risk area. Like, I just wanted to know more about risk. So there was a part of me that always thought that I would get into finance. There was a part of me that always thought I would be doing something, you know, transfer the stuff I'm learning in insurance about risk and transferring it to, like, the equity markets or the commodities markets. I thought I would always do that, but I never quite made it over there. I just went from agency to agency, and at every agency, I stepped it up. I went from small personal lines to small commercial, and then to mid-sized commercial. And then I made it to Aon in Boston. That was like a big deal, doing middle market related stuff, but like big accounts. And that was just so interesting. But even then, I still felt like there was something missing. And it wasn't until I started to work for AIR Worldwide in Boston, which was the first cat modeling firm, that I finally felt home. I finally felt like this is what I was meant to do, because it combined everything. It was insurance. It was economics. It was science. The science came back to my life. It was risk-taking. It was portfolio management. There was an actuarial aspect to it. There was an underwriting aspect to it. There was a claims aspect to it. Like, cat modeling and dealing in that environment really captured everything. And then 2 to 3 years into that particular stint, I worked on my first cat bond. And I got exposure to finance as well. Like, I literally touched everything in insurance in one area at a very high level analytically. And since then, I knew that's what I wanted to do. This is what I wanted to do the rest of my life. I wanted to work at this high level and solve problems. So today I work for QBE. I'm on the data and analytics side. So I'm technically not doing cat modeling anymore, but I'm still very much involved. My side passions are to get every homeowner in America flood and earthquake insurance.
That's more than a side passion. That's a life mission.
It's a life mission.
Nick, have you taken actuarial exams?
I have not.
Okay.
I've not. I've always wanted to. But I've always been talked out of it.
I have a quick philosophical question, real quick. If Foster's is Australian for beer, is QBE Australian for insurance?
Yes. Yes. And that's a good joke too. QBE is Australian, so it's interesting. When I tell people who I work for, most everyone I tell, unless they're in insurance, they're QBE, what's that? So, you know.
It's just not a brand name here.
It's not. But you'd be surprised in the Midwest. We have a personal auto and a personal homeowner's book of business. So there are people in Big Ten country that are buying QBE products. So
and it's not like reinsuring Allstate or something. Or it's truly somebody bought a QBE policy directly.
Yes. Yep. Long story behind that. We don't need to go into the details, but that's a little bit about my story. And so I hope the audience gets a flavor for who we are. I think a lot of this will keep coming up,
Should
in
we
future episodes.
Should we hit a little bit on our personal lives outside of insurance, what we're into, like 30 seconds on
sure.
how do you entertain yourself?
Sure.
Who would like to go first?
Go ahead.
30 seconds, Tony. Go.
Okay, well, I have a hard time answering this question, actually, because I'm a giant nerd, and I spend a lot of my time thinking about insurance. I do drive Uber and Lyft on my free time, which I wasn't saying out loud until recently, out of fear of having an accident and having my claim denied. But I'm kind of coming out on that, and I have a lot of fun doing it. Also, I play chess badly. I'm a photographer, again, mediocrely. If that's a word, I'm a very mediocre photographer. I travel a lot, about 30 countries in the last 4 years, and I read a lot. I'm also kind of a movie buff. I love independent and foreign films. I don't watch nearly as many of them as I wish I did. And I'm a gamer. I just recently built a new gaming PC with my tax return, and I am having just a blast and spending pretty much all my free time on it. So yeah, just a nerd through and through, basically. I don't know if I made it within 30 seconds.
I'll echo Tony. I'm pretty much a nerd as well. I spend a lot of time reading. I've started playing chess as well. I've taken up some dancing lately. I'm trying to learn the guitar. I'm always looking for new, strange things to spend my time on. And traveling would be probably my number one passion.
Dancing and guitar are the last things I would have guessed when I met you, or even the first couple of years I knew you. In fact, it surprises me every time you mention that.
I like to surprise people.
That's good.
Should we play the Jeopardy music in the background?
If you can add it in post, that'd be wonderful.
So for the audience sake, we make it a triumvirate here. Is that a word?
Triumvirate.
That's what they call British.
I have no idea.
Okay, there's the three of us here.
There's
We're all nerds.
Oh, okay.
So insnerds.com fits very well. I am a nerd. My mission is to get all homeowners flood and earthquake insurance. When I'm not doing that, I try to be an athlete. I do enjoy playing basketball and softball. Have had a lot less time to do that over the past year, but I'm trying to pick it back up. My knees feel it today. Really, really tough. So, yeah, I'm an athlete. I'm a insurance nerd. I like to write, and I'm hoping to become a good podcaster as well.
What do you write? Fiction, nonfiction?
I write blog articles for insnerds.com.
I write fiction on the side too. I forget about this.
Well, that's
do you publish it somewhere?
I haven't yet. Someday.
I have never read any of your fiction, so I'm gonna be waiting on that, preferably by Tuesday. I have a little bit of plane time coming up because of work stuff, so that'd be wonderful. On the nerd thing, I do. There's kind of a funny fact on the fact that we're all nerds. I'm a very proud nerd, but I'm the worst kind of nerd. And there's a little clip from The Simpsons where Milhouse says, "I'm the worst kind of nerd. I'm a nerd with bad grades." That's me. That's been me my whole life, basically. I'm a nerd that has never really had good grades. I'm a survivor. I always survived. I got my high school degree, undergrad, MBA, and then 10 designations, but never with good grades. Another quick question that I think would be interesting is I would like each of us to share a random fact that would be surprising to our readers, like the last thing they'd expect from you.
Another one?
if you can.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do you have? I think I may have used up all my surprises.
I don't know if I have a random fact, but
Oh, I have one.
Peter Thiel has a question in his book 0 to 1, where he says, "What name some truth that most people would disagree with? Something that you think is true." And this is the best I can answer, Tony. I think Wilt Chamberlain is the greatest basketball player that ever lived.
I wasn't alive during his times. I'm from the Michael Jordan generation. But he was my dad's favorite, so I really can't disagree personally. Yeah.
Watch YouTube videos of him. He's just phenomenal. Anyway, sorry, Carly, go ahead.
No, it's okay. So the favorite thing about my family background is that my grandfather on my mom's side is from Hawaii, from Ireland. They met in London and knew each other for 2 weeks before they got married in Greece.
Oh, well, did it last?
Yes, until he passed away.
Holy wow.
Great story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is. I had no idea you had Hawaii, I knew.
Yes.
The Irish part I knew, but...
must come out as a dancer.
My random fact, it came to my mind when you said you try to be an athlete, because I'm the furthest thing away from an athlete. I am thoroughly allergic to exercise. It's a like a truly just hate exercise. But when I was a kid, I did karate, full contact Kyokushin Kai karate for my entire childhood, from when I was 3 to when I was 19. And I got my black belt at age 12, and I fought with the Costa Rican national team for a few years. And very, very few people know that, because
wow.
Like,
it's
so far from
where
I am
time
today.
Period?
Not on Facebook. There are photos. Like, my mom would have photos. I have the jacket. I have the team jacket. This is kind of the only proof I have, like, here at home.
Carly, we're going to have to get pictures of him on insnerds.com.
Definitely.
We have to do that. Okay, so... I think we should probably wrap this up for episode one. I think we've given our audience quite a bit of who we are and what it is that we're trying to do with the podcast. So I think to end, I'm not sure when this is going to be, this is going to go live, if Carly lets it go live. But if it does, Carly, Tony, what's coming up for blog articles in the next 2 to 3 weeks on insnerds.com. Anything?
You should see the deer in the headlights look we both have right now. our editing process is such that we really never know. We always have some things that are in the hopper, both with guest authors and with ourselves. But ultimately, almost every Monday, we try to publish on Wednesdays. And almost every Monday, I will text Carly, or nowadays I text both of you, and I'm like, so who has something that might be good for Wednesday? And because we never really know when the ones that take a long time will be ready. But and the funny thing is, some of our best articles have been like spur of the moment, right? I'm driving, and the idea comes, I text it to Carly. Carly does something with it, and next thing we know, we have a great article coming out the next morning. I can tell you, well, of course, Nick's column is supposed to go out this week, so we'll see what Nick has ready for us. But I can tell you that I am really excited. Carly already heard this. I don't think you have. But we are getting a better, more professional, at least won't make your ears bleed version of Insurance Paradise. It's getting recorded by somebody who can actually sing, literally this weekend, and we should be seeing it in the next couple of days. So I'm very excited to hear that and to get out a decent version of it that doesn't include me singing. And also, we are working on an article that is tentatively called "Help, I Hate My Claims Job," and that one should be interesting.
It's going to be reworked.
Okay. It's gonna be interesting because we tend to be really positive, and this is not a negative article at all. I really enjoyed most of my time in claims. It's more of a in my opinion, I keep running into a lot of young claims people who are unhappy with their jobs and looking to leave the industry. And I want them to find it and to realize that there is that claims is a great place to start, but it's not long term. It's not for everyone. And if it is becoming kind of one of the main places where we bring people into the industry, getting those people to the right areas that are good matches for them instead of losing them is kind of the goal. So we have that coming up. I don't know, Carly, what do you have anything else in the hopper that I'm forgetting or I don't know about?
We have some articles on soft skills that we want to write, and we have some articles I'm hoping to work a little bit more on the series that I had focused towards personal lines agents who are trying to move into commercial. So I have some ideas around that in the next couple months.
Those are surprisingly popular. They're really interesting. Mm-hmm. They tend to not get a lot of attention right away. So we get discouraged, but then they tend to get a lot of hits from Google later. Like they become good part of the library. So I think those are really important.
That's great. See, no need for deer in the headlights. We have lots of stuff lined up, and I have two articles. I don't know which one I'm sending to you guys this week. So I have I did the article 3 weeks ago on the two greatest business skills you can have, which are the ability to sell and the ability to manage people. And I promised in that article that I would break each of those up into their own individual column. So I have one on sales. And when I mean sales, I don't necessarily mean, selling an item, but persuasion. I think it's going to be titled Everyone's a Salesperson. Because at the end of the day, everyone is a salesperson. So it's very important to be able to sell and market yourself. You cannot succeed unless you're able to do that somehow. So that's coming up. And I got a lot of positive feedback from the article last week or 2 weeks ago on the simplified business, simplified model to look at insurtech companies.
It's genius. I think that one's going to be a classic, and I am thrilled that it premiered at INS Nerds, because I truly think that was much needed in the insurtech space.
Yeah, and
sober look at it.
Yeah, and that's the feedback I got as well. So, I was tentative to release something like that because it just seemed like a no-brainer to me. It didn't seem like something that could potentially be useful. I thought everyone was kind of thinking through the problem that way, but apparently it was helpful. And so what I thought I would do is actually begin a recurring column where we take an insurtech company, put our VC hat on, and actually walk through the model. So we could probably start with like Lemonade, since they love the publicity. We'll give them some more. And walk through how a VC should actually analyze Lemonade through this particular model, and what kind of value that they ultimately bring to the table. We can do that for a bunch of different insurtech companies.
I think that you were suffering from academic creep, which is basically like since you know this, like this seems so obvious to you that you think that everybody knows it. And I think that the article is really important for a couple of demographics. One of them being our millennials that we so focus on, right? Even myself, there were things in the article that I just hadn't thought of. And I've got a good, it's my eighth year in the industry. And I get carried away. I get excited about new things coming up, and having a model to look at them through is super helpful. So for new people in the industry, I think it's going to be huge. And even for the VCs. I think it's going to be huge because they don't have the 20-some years of experience in insurance or the 40 years of experience that we have together.
Yeah. Especially the VCs that come from the technology side.
And I think they all come. I don't think they're coming from insurance. They're coming from technology.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the feedback I got, which was I never thought of it that way, or that was an interesting take, or things like that. So. We'll continue that, and I think for the audience, insnerds.com is the website. That's where the blog articles are. We have built, thanks mostly to Tony and Carly, quite the library of insurance articles. We will now be including podcasts and at some point in 2017, educational webinars and other really cool stuff. So, Tony, Carly?
A couple of things, of course. I forgot to mention also on the upcoming articles. Lately, I've just been running into a lot of interesting insurance people that I think would make great guest authors. And one of the most interesting, I won't name her yet, but she's the same person that has singing training and is recording the new version of Insurance Paradise. She has a very interesting background where she was a philosophy major in college. And so I challenged her, and she got really excited. So I'm really looking forward to see what comes out. I challenged her to write some articles for us, applying philosophy to insurance. And so the first thing she thought of is the ethics stuff. Like how do we make better ethics training and more interesting ethics training? And number two, I challenged her to just go crazy you know, things like what would Kant think about deductibles, or what would Marx think about running a mutual company. Anyway, lots of stuff coming up. Also, I you can cut this piece out, but I gotta ask, are we wrapping up because we're out of the 30 minutes, or are we wrapping up because you guys are out of time? Because I was thinking that we can always release it in 2 30 minute pieces. So I would advocate continuing the conversation for another few.
I think we're running out of interesting material.
It's time to wrap up.
It's my read. public consumption.
So can we do what is INS Nerds before we wrap up?
We can do that.
And we'll have Nick cut it off if it ends up being not interesting for the public.
Okay. Yeah, I have time. I'm not in a rush. I just think cool. It's time to wrap the recording.
Yeah. So, parting thoughts. Tony, what does insnerds.com mean to you?
I'd like to go last.
Carly, what does insnerds.com mean to you?
So, I think Tony shared...
And...
We're going to have
to run.
My internet is really getting shaky.
Should we just wrap it up? Yeah, because you're fuzzy. I can barely see you, too.
I'm going to turn off the webcam and see if...
Okay.
If that... Okay, is my voice better?
Yes.
So, Carly,
yes.
What does insnerds.com mean to you?
So, to me, insnerds.com means... That's not where I want to start. Okay, so I think Tony shared earlier that he and I met through the Gen Y Associate Resource Group at Nationwide. One of the biggest purposes of that group was to help millennials at Nationwide figure out how to have a meaningful and valuable career in insurance. As I shared, I was in a call center there. Tony had been in a call center at the Farm Bureau doing some claims work. And those environments can be challenging to connect to the industry from. So we started some educational pieces that we posted on our internal social media network at the time, and trying to inspire people who were in a similar situation to us. So when we left Nationwide, we realized that we missed doing that kind of work and started the site as an opportunity to continue that kind of work and try to help with the upcoming generational gap in the industry.
Okay. Well, Tony said he wanted to go last, so I'll go next. What does insnerds.com mean to me? I think there's a need to have a library and catalog of really interesting articles that really bring out the exciting parts of what we love about insurance. And why it's so important. You know, while we are insurance nerds, there is a rhyme and a reason. And ultimately, it's, to me, it's when you're at your worst, when your home burns down or the wind rips the roof off, it's insurance that gets you back up on your feet. And I love that you guys have built this site where really the character of insurance and the people in insurance get to really be exposed. I think that's a really great way to get millennials who have this social instinct in them, get them excited about this and about this industry. So that's what INSnerds.com means to me. Tony?
Okay, so you guys changed the question. The original question was what is INS Nerds? But I do like the what does it mean to me. But it would take me 2 hours to tell you what it means to me, because it truly is one of my favorite things that I do. It truly is. But anyway, so I'll answer the other one. What is INS Nerds? And I have to answer this question all the time when I'm giving people the card and telling them about INS Nerds. The definition in my head has grown over time and changed over time, and I think it's I like where it's going. INS Nerds is the career advice that wasn't easy to get in our industry when Carly and I started, and we locked into a lot of it, and we started sharing, and we saw that a lot of other people would benefit from it too. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, INS Nerds is a resource for not only the new employees in the industry to grow, but also for the industry to look forward and to have fun while looking at this very serious topic of insurance and where we're going. So that's kind of what I think INS Nerds is, and of course it'll keep changing over time and becoming something even bigger and better.
Okay, well, that's a great answer. I think that's an appropriate point to end episode one. So, Carly, thank you. Tony, thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
And for the audience that's listening, this is episode one that we're ending. And stay tuned in a couple weeks for episode two, where we will continue the discussion of insnerds.com, current events, articles, and hopefully an announcement about when we will have our first interview on this platform. So for everyone that's listening, thank you very much, and we'll see you around.